Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, please. And we'll look at verse 57. As soon as that rustling stops, it'll start. Okay. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I humble myself before you and I submit myself to you. I resist the devil, and your word says that he'll flee from me according to the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ and according to the precious and holy blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me as I preach this message to these people, Lord, that you would just hide me behind this pulpit. And Lord, just let them hear you tonight, Lord. Let you feed them. And Lord, let everything that's said and done just uplift the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. It's kind of hard to be hid behind a glass pulpit. Amen. All right. You know, it didn't cost anything for any one of us to be saved. It didn't cost anything. But you know what? It did cost something to be a Christian. It did cost me something to go to Africa on a mission field. You know, the cost was the loss of my family. When I left, I flew out of Buffalo Airport, and I remember my mother hugging me and kissing me and saying, bring those babies back to me. Leah wasn't here yet. But, you know, that was the last time I saw my mother. And she never got to see those babies again. And sometimes the mission field will do that. But, you know, it might cost the loss of some family. Might cost the loss of some friends. Might cost the loss of a status. But you know what? There is a cost when you take that name as Christian. You know, there are many people who want to be called Christians. You know, the Mormons call themselves Christians, and they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. The Jehovah Witnesses call themselves Christians. In fact, one time my wife was trying to walk into a store. This car just about ran her over to give her some literature that probably would have self-ignited. It was these watchtower things. And they go, here, take one. And she goes, no, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. And they said, well, we're Christians too. Now, come on. How can somebody call themselves a Christian that doesn't even believe that Jesus Christ is God? And then you know what? And then we got a problem that there are too many Christians that don't realize that what that name means. The responsibility that they have in taking that name. You know what? Everybody knows who Jacob was, right? Jacob was in the desert. And Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He wrestled with God, did he not? And, you know, he wrestled from nighttime to all the way into the day. And he was wrestling with him. And then at the end, towards the break of day, he's going, who are you? What's your name? And you know, and he grabbed him right by the thigh. He grabbed his thigh and he shrunk the sinew. And then that sinew just shrunk up on him, and he goes, "Listen, from now on, you are not going to be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel." And you know what? He got up with that new name, with that shrunken sinew, and he walked away differently. Everybody saw a difference in the way he walked from that point on. And it's just like us. We take the name Christian too lightly. When we become a Christian, we take that name Christian, we should walk away a little bit differently than when before we were. That name is very important. We're going to look at three people that Jesus met and Jesus talked to as he travels down his path. Now, you know what the path is? Or the way? The way is the path. The first person, let's look at verse 57. "And it came to pass as they went in the way is the path. And you know what? The path is the Lord's path. And when you take that name Christian, that's the path that you should be walking on. And it's also the path, and that walk should also be a walk that people should know that you're a Christian without having to be seen in your hand. You know, there was a time I went to this Young Life. Does anybody ever remember Young Life? You're from Colorado. You know, I went to Colorado to a Young Life meeting for a whole month. Did you know they had a camp there? Did you? Okay, a whole month. Does anybody ever hear of Young Life? It's a Christian, I don't know if it's any even good. I wasn't saved when I went there. I didn't even go there for the right reason. You know, I didn't go for the gospel. I went because all the pretty girls were going there. Well, I'm honest. You know, that's the reason I went. And, you know, I spent 30 days there. I came back home. Years later, I ran into this girl that I was in high school with that went to Young Life and the camp with me. And we talked, and she goes, "Joe," she just stops me. She goes, "Joe, are you saved?" And I go, "Yeah, Barb, how did you know? I didn't mention a thing about God. I didn't mention a thing about the Bible. How did you know? And she goes, "Just by the way you say you're living and bringing up your family, only a Christian would live that way." She saw by the walk. And that's how we should see. Everyone should see us. I go, "Barb, when did you get saved?" She goes, "Joe, I got saved at Young Life. They gave..." Hey, young people, listen to me. Listen. They gave the gospel every night. 30 days. I did not hear it because I was there for the wrong reasons. So a lot of times when you see these clubs or whatever, and they say they got these Christian bands and everything, all these people are coming for this big party. How good? I wonder how much good they're actually doing. You know? Well, let's look at that first person. You got to be on the Lord's path. You got to be on the Lord's way. But Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death." You know what that tells me? There's two paths. There's the Lord's path, there's man's path. I knew this guy, he was like one of these professional wrestlers, you know, and he was in charge of the carriers at the post office. And they used to whine about, "Oh, I don't want to go out there, it's too hot. I don't want to go out there, it's too cold." You got to be a professional whiner to be a mail carrier. Is there any mail carriers in here? Hey, you got to come through your pastor. Listen, I worked at the post office for 23 years, and I know, brother, postal brother, when they used to whine, "I don't want to go out there. You know, the dogs are out there." But you know what? He used to look at them, and he'd say to them, "Hey, this could be a proverb. That's the path you chose." And boy, isn't that the truth. The path you're on is the path that you choose. You make the choice. You know what? We could either be fast learners
We're slow learners. It's all up to us.
But God's going to get the glory one way or the other. You know, there's a lot of people who follow Jesus Christ, but never heard His call. There's a lot of people who just followed and never really committed themselves to Him. In John 6:26, you don't have to turn now, I'll read it. John 6:26, Jesus says, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know, these people didn't follow Christ because they were seeking the Messiah. They followed Him because they wanted their bellies filled. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted out of God. You know, and it's not much different today. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm staying at this church in Tempe and I'm watching these people come in. It's the pastor there. I go, are you a church member? No. We just want to talk to him about something. I know what they want. They want to see how much money they can get from him. You know, or they want to see, you know, people today, they want to see what Jesus can do for them. What is Jesus going to do for them? Like, didn't He already do enough? I mean, you become a Christian and you're not going to hell anymore. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, I'll tell you, I got people in Africa that they're dying of AIDS. They're literally dying. I have a couple young people. Actually, one is 20 now, and that's unheard of. She was born with AIDS. Another one I got that was born with AIDS is 10, and I don't know if there's any more in there, but I'm sure there are. But there's other people with AIDS. And the people that have come into the church, they were not saved. And they'd come in and they'd have a long countenance, a long sorrowful look on them. And you know what? They got saved. And boy, that sorrow turned into joy. And that expression and that countenance just lifted up. But here, sometimes, here in America, you could have a Christian, a young Christian person that maybe didn't get their Xbox or their Nintendo thing for Christmas, and they walk around like they just lost everything. They don't have it. They don't have their new scooter. Oh, how can I go on through life without my new scooter? You know, we've got too much in this country. We got too much. And these people, man, when they get saved, that's it. They're happy now. They're happy. I tell you, the people over there, it's a hopeless situation. People are dying, and they're finally grabbing onto something that's giving them hope, and that's Jesus Christ. But sometimes in America, that's just not enough, you know. You know, the first person said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Didn't somebody else say that? Didn't somebody else tell Jesus Christ, no, Lord, I'll be with you, I'll follow you. Who was that? That's right, Peter said that, didn't he? I'll follow you, Lord. You know, in Matthew 26, verse 34, he said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Same chapter, verse 75, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. You know, verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, you better be careful. You better count your words. Do you know where I'm heading? There's no luxury where I'm heading. Do you know where I'm heading? There's no comfort. There's no glory. There's no earthly rewards where I'm heading. We need to count the cost before committing ourselves to meaningless words. Meaningless words. You know, remember Luke 14:28? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? I'm heading for the cross, Jesus said. I'm heading for the cross. Do you still want to follow me? By the way, I don't know if you got one tonight. We have a lot of the Pentecostal people in our community, lots of them. And they're really preaching that prosperity gospel. Well, oh, brothers and sisters, this is yours for tonight, okay? Amen. I'm heading for the cross. Do you still want to follow me? I'm heading for persecution. Do you still want to follow me? I'm heading for a lonely place. Do you still want to follow me? I'm heading for standing alone. Do you still want to follow me? I'm hated by the world. Do you still want to follow me? If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what? Being a Christian is going to cost you something sometimes. You know, I hate it when someone says, "Oh, why don't you get saved? You don't have to change anything. You can still have those 16 earrings hanging down from your ear. You can still wear them big baggy things." You know what? To get saved, yes, but to live as a Christian, there's going to have to be taken some changes in you. And you're going to have to walk a little differently. Are you sure you still want to follow me? You know, the way or the path of a Christian may seem hard at times, but it could, now here's the key word, it could give great rewards at the end. But you know what? I'm going to give you the whole key to unlocking your Christianity so that you can all be the best Christians in the entire world. The entire world. You know what it is? You need to surrender. You need to give up. You need to say, "I quit. I'm tired of trying to do it by myself. Lord, I'm weak. I need your help. You're the only person that can do it for me." We need to surrender. That's what we need to do. You know, let's go to the second person. Verse 59. "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Okay. He has family problems he needs to attend to first. You know, he wasn't ready. He needed more time before he would follow Jesus. Who was it? Is it Isaac? Isaac. I was if you go start Abraham, Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, right? And he blessed them. And years, he told them, "You know, I'm going to die." Are there any Italians in here? You don't look Italian. You know, I had an Italian grandmother, and ever since when I knew her, when she was like when I was about this age, that woman was always dying. "Oh, give me a kiss, Joey. This might be the last time you see me." You know, you know, and she lived about 25 years, and Isaac did the same thing. Isaac was dying all his life. "Let me bless you before I die," and he didn't die till a long time later. And you know, we don't know when this man was dying. All we know is that. This guy, he goes, he could have just been sick. He wanted more time. He didn't want to go just then. He wasn't ready to serve God. He had other things that he had in mind to do. He had his own agenda. You know what? Folks, let me tell you something. We're looking at eternity. We're looking at eternity. Pretend this wall, this whole wall was just flush. No beams or windows. And that represented eternity. That whole wall was all of eternity. And I said to you, "Ma'am, you see that pen? I'd like you to go with that pen, and I want you to put a dot on that wall that would represent your life from your birth till your death, even if you died at 85 years old. Tell me something. Would you be able to see that dot? If that wall represented eternity, would you be able to see that little dot you're going to put on the wall that represents your life?" No! You know what? You'd never see it. But you know what we do in this world? We spend so much time, so much effort, so much money, so much of ourselves and everything else around us for that tiny little dot on the wall that you can't even see. And that's what we invest our life in. And all of eternity. You know what? Eternity is big. Why don't we invest our life for eternity? Why don't we start doing things now, you know, for Him? You know, I don't have the time. Oh, I'll follow you, but I got to attend to my father. He's dying. You know, Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." That's what's most important. That's what he's trying to tell him. The most important thing is the kingdom of God. That whole wall. And we're investing our life and our time and we're saying, "I can't follow you now, Lord. That dock's more important to me that you can't even see." Jesus says, "Now is the time. Now is the time to drink." Yeah. Jesus says, "Now is the time." You know what? If you don't seize the offer when it's made, there may not be another offer. You know, and you're going to go through life wondering, sadly, how God might have used you. How God not only might have used you, but what He has for you in eternity. Listen, let me show you something. Can I borrow you? Okay. Okay, now listen. You're going to be Mr. Chapel, not Pastor Chapel, okay? And I'm going to be God.
Okay.
I'm a little better looking. So I'm going to be God. Okay. Now I'm God, Brother Chapel just died, and he came to heaven. But you know what? He wasn't the best Christian in the world. He was kind of a guy that came to church on Sunday. You know, once in a while he'd come on Sunday evening. Wednesday, if they had food, he'd be here. You know, but, you know, and that's, he wasn't in a ministry or didn't go out soul winning when the church was going out. And he just sort of skimmed through his Christianity and he made it to heaven. And, because he got saved. Well, he's here. Hi. Welcome to heaven. I didn't say, help me. The joy of the Lord. Well, you're not.
Well done.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you. My mind's. I didn't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. I didn't say that. I just said, hi. Welcome to heaven. You know what? I want to show you something. Look at you. See this? You see all this? This is beautiful, isn't it? I had this plan for you. This is what I wanted to give you. You know, when we go to heaven, we're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. God has responsibilities for us. He has jobs for us. We will be working for Him. And we will have, some will have better, greater positions than others. I had this for you, but you know what? You said no. You said not now. I don't have the time now. Well, I had to give that to somebody else. Okay, so poor Brother Chapel. But you know, that's what we do. Not now. I'm not ready. You know, God's not going to call you at your time when you're ready. He's going to call you when He wants you. Are you ready? Are you ready now? You know, say, well, I got to put my life in order first. You'll never get your life in order. If you follow Him, if you get on His path, He'll put your life in order. You know, it's hard to, it's a hard path to travel, but your life will be so much better for it. You know, John 10:10 tells us, "I am come that they might have life, and that they, life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Wow! You know what? Isn't that what you want? Don't you want an abundant life? That's what I live for. I want an abundant life. I want to be able to serve God to the fullest here and serve God to the fullest there. That's an abundant life. You know, but not now. Yeah. You want life more abundantly, then come on. Jump onto His path. Jump on. You know, the third person. Verse 61. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. That doesn't sound like a bad request, does it? Sounds good. Just let me go visit them. Well, you know, this is what he's trying to say. Let me first go and see all that this world has given me before I come and follow you. You know, I had a friend, and he's kind of sick. He pulled out his wallet one time, and he goes, "Hey, you want to see a picture?" I thought he was going to show me a picture of his wife. He goes, "You want to see his picture?" I go, "What is it? Your wife?" He goes, "No, I don't have a picture of my wife." I go, "What do you need a picture of?" "It's my house." "You got a picture of your house in your wallet?" He had a picture of his house in his wallet. You know why? That's what he loved. It was a beautiful house. Big deal. It'll burn just as easy as a grass shack over in Zambia. It's all going to burn someday. What's he's spending his life on his house. And that's what people do sometimes. That's what he did. That's what this one did. "Let me go at home. Let me see these things before I follow you." You know, remember, in Matthew 6:21, Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, I don't know if your pastor ever said this to you, but I'll tell you. I can find out where your heart is just by looking at your checkbook. I can find out if your heart's towards God's kingdom or towards Walmart or wherever. Just what's in there the most. And that's where your heart's at. That's where your heart's at. Add it all up and see what gets the most out of your heart. I'll tell you, we think that tithing, I don't know if you tithe or not, but you know, we think tithing is, I got to get 10% of this. You know, should get more than 10%. But, you know, that's a form of worship. You know, I did a whole series on worship, and tithing is worship. And boy, is it worship. Tithing is a temperature. It's a thermometer of your worship. What do you have to give? You know, do we care more about God's will and plan for our life? Or do we care more about the things we can acquire in our life? You know, Lot and his family were tested. And we're tested all the time, too. We're always getting tests to see where our heart is at. Where our thoughts are at, to see what we care most about in this world. And Lot was tested too, and his wife. We all know, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You know what? She lost what God had for her. God had a plan to get her out of there. He was freeing her. He was saving her miraculously. But you know what she did? She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? She lost what God had for her. Because number one, she was afraid of the unknown. Just like us. Hey, young men, older men, you know when I went to Zambia? I was 48 years old when I went to Zambia. You know, sometimes God might call you a little later in life. Or maybe God did call you and you didn't hear him and he's finally shaking you a little bit. But young men, listen up. God might be calling you. And moms, if God does call your son, don't hold him back. That could be dangerous for you too. But she lost because she was afraid of the unknown. And number two, she had too many cares of this world. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the word. And it becometh unfruitful. It chokes the word. The riches, you know what? Riches are okay. God can give you riches. And God will give you riches. But sometimes we let those riches get away with us and think that that's what the most important thing is in our life. Sometimes if people get riches too soon, they just run away from God. They don't feel like they need Him anymore. But they choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Look at verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, that third man, he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God calls you to go, young men, older men, women. Don't look back. Trust Him. It's the same God that split that Red Sea apart. It's the same God in the burning bush. He's the same God that saved your soul. And you know what? I say this. If He can save your soul and He wants to move you somewhere and do something with you, why are you afraid? Do you think He's a mean God that won't take care of you through the way on His path? He'll be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way. You know, as God... Have you counted the cost? You know, Jesus said the road might be lonely, it might be hard, you might lose friends, you might lose family, you might lose some status, you may even lose your house or some possession. These things seem sometimes like they're the most important things we have, but they're not. They're not. Don't give up your chances. Maybe your last chance to serve God. You know, it might be hard. And Jesus knew that. But Jesus took care of that too. In John 14:16, He tells us, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. You know what? That Holy Spirit is going to be sealed in you. Ephesians 1:30, He's going to be sealed in you. And you know what? When does He come out? At the day of redemption. You're sealed until the day of redemption. When's the day of redemption? When you enter heaven. So, from here until you enter heaven, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have a guide. You have a comforter. Someone to help you. And you know what? We don't take advantage of it. Has God called you to do something that you're not doing because of maybe some fears? You know what fear does to a person? A fear will paralyze you. I remember as a little boy, I used to be afraid of the dark, and I used to go under the covers, and I used to be so afraid, and I could hear that house, everything in that house. I could hear the clock. I could hear the creaks, and I knew the monster was coming down the hallway. You know, I knew it, and I could hear all these things, and I was afraid, and I'll tell you, I lied so still, I wouldn't move. It paralyzes you, but faith will compel you to move and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's to go on a mission field or maybe just to your neighbor's house and walk up their driveway with the Bible in your hand. Oh no, they're going to think I'm a lunatic. You know what? Better they think they're a lunatic than God. God's bigger than the fears. He's bigger than the persecutions, the loneliness, the troubles. And there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what? You're not going to do that. He's going to do that for you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost in your own life? The cost of what you might lose in eternity? That's what we need to count. What will I lose if I don't walk like a Christian? What will I lose if I don't do what God tells me to do? Are we reading our Bibles and hearing God talk to us? Are we walking with Him on the path? And when we hear Him, do we do what He tells us to do? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love You, and I thank You, Lord, for this day. I ask You, Lord, to help this congregation, these people, with the path that they might be on. Lord, my salvation and our salvation was free. But living a Christian life might cost us some things. But when we think about that dot on the wall and the scope of eternity and what we spend ourselves on, is it that tiny little dot? Or do we spend our life on you? Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to get our eye off that dot and see you through eternity and the path that we'll walk together. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.